week. All right. Not that anyone needs any encouragement, but you can keep on eating.
Thank you.
I want to discuss the topic that I'm sure has been on top of everyone's mind as of late, Halitei L'Rosh HaVayomus. Okay, maybe not. In the second Aliyah of this week's Parsha, we review the facts of the Meraglim. And if we compare the version of the Meraglim that we have in this week's Parsha to the version that we had back in Parsha Shlach, there are some notable differences. If you look at this week's Parsha, number one on the sheet, Vatikrun alai kolchem vatomu, nishlucha anoshim lefaneinu v'yachparon atzaretz v'yashuv osanu davar atzaderach shenareva v'yasarim asher novo aleihem. So it says there that what? Who initiated the idea of the Meraglim?
The people.
The people that took you. You came to me. Well, this, again, I'm just reading the Chumash. The Chumash there says, you did it. Then, I agreed. It was fine. I said, okay, that's a good idea. And then we chose it. So again, if you read this week's parasha, it seems that the impetus was the people, then Moshe Rabbeinu just agreed to it. When you read Parshas Shlach, however, very different. It says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Reimor, Shlach lecho anashim v'yosur es eretz kanan, asher nino sin levnei Yisrael, ish echad l'mateh, l'mateh avosal tishlachu kol nesivahem. Whose idea was it? It was God's idea. God, in fact, was the one who told Moshe to send the people. That's a major difference. Right, in this week's Parsha, he's saying that was the people who initiated it. Back in Parshas Bamidbar, it said it was God who initiated it. How do we live with this? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, here's what actually happened. Number three, Shlachucho L'datcha. Says, do what you want. Ani eini mitzavlo. God didn't say you have to do it, but rather what? Im tirta shlach, if you want, l'fisha bo Yisrael v'amru, mishlucha noshim lefaneinu. What happened? Well, what happened actually is what we read in this week's Parsha. The people came forward and they said, we'd like to send somebody. Like it says in Parshas Devarim. So Moshe turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, what do I do? Omar, ani amarti lehem shi tova. What do they want to look for? I told them it's a fine land. Was God said? So good. So let them do what they want. Is this a good idea? No. Are you going to end up sinning? Yes. But you know what? Let them do it. They have a right to do it. I'm not going to stop them. That is the idea behind it. Now the question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that? Wouldn't it have been more appropriate for him to say, no, you can't do it because it's going to end up bad? Doesn't, just like we have an obligation of tochacha, right, to rebuke people, to stop them from sinning, doesn't God have the same obligation? Right, that's Hebrew for we give a person enough rope to hang themselves. Right, that's the rough translation of it. So the question is, when do we say that? When do we say if the person, you know, that's the way I like to focus on. When do we say that you try to stop a person from sinning? When do you say, listen, it's a free world. Do what you want to do.
But God can't do that because he takes away Bechira. So that's not the same case, is it?
Correct. But again, here Moshe was asking. Right? It's not that God would have interceded on his own. Moshe said, these people came to me to ask that they want to go. Should I say yes or no? Right? So God could have definitely told them no. He wasn't stopping them physically. But at least it would have been the advice would have been appropriate. So there's a very, 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 at least three verys, interesting Gemara in Bava Kamma that relates to this. The Gemara is talking about something that doesn't sound interesting at all. If somebody owns a field, what do you have to do to indicate that certain fruits are off limits? So it says, Karim Ravai, right? If this is a case of a vineyard, so a vineyard for the first 3 years, you can't eat from it. For the fourth year, you take it to Yerushalayim. Metzaynos ha-bekuzos adama. Right? The Yehuda, they put clobs of dirt there, which would indicate what? Simona ki adama, ma adama ika hanamine, af hainami ki mifkareshe shelisarbine. To indicate this is the type of thing that you can't eat it, but you could get benefit from it. Shel orla becharsis. But if it was orla, if it was a tree in the first 3 years, then they would put pottery next to it. Just like broken pottery, there's nothing you can do with it. So too, there's nothing you're allowed to do with this. And we go on. And if there is a burial plot, so they would put plaster there to tell the Kohanim, avoid the area. Right? They would go, why plaster? Because it's white as bones. That would be the indication. And they would polish it. Right, so this is the idea being that everybody has to mark whatever I have in my field to indicate that this is something that's off limits. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel makes an amazing statement. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, b'med varmim b'shvius. All these rules only apply during the Shemitah year. Behefker ninu, because during the Shemitah year, people have a right to come to my field and take things. So therefore, I have to tell them, don't take that. However, any other year, no one's allowed to be in my field. The only person who's allowed to be taken from the field is me. So do I have to go and tell the ganav, by the way?
What about the widows and orphans?
So again, that stuff I put aside. Widows and orphans can't just walk in and take whatever they want.
I thought that's why we leave the corners for them.
They can take the corner, correct.
Okay, again, so I'm not going to coming into your field.
Right, but I'm not gonna leave them what they can't take.
But what he's saying is that even if there's a kind of a thief, you want him to not sin.
Right, you want the gun if he should take the kosher stuff, not the non-kosher stuff. Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. Said the idea that you have to mark this off and tell them what's kosher and what's not. That's only during Shemitah when other people can take it. But the other 6 years of the 7 year cycle, let him eat it and drop dead. Right? Eat Shemitah and die, as the old saying goes. Right? Right? That is the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. I have no obligation whatsoever to stop this guy from sinning. He's a ganav, that's his problem. Right? Rashi explains simply, during Shemitah, I have to mark it off because people are allowed to eat it. So let him eat treif. I don't care. The guy's a ganav. Let him eat treif. The Meiri gets even more serious about it.
So Rashi is agreeing with him.
Rashi's explaining the Gemara, right? And is saying that, you know, absolutely so. That's it. If the guy's a ganav, I don't really care what happens to him. He's a sinner. It's not my problem. The Meiri is even stronger in his words. He says, "B'shar shanim ho v'negiyasa masura emisaktum ove avera." I'm not here to help out the people who are sinners. Ela im yagiu mutav yistarshu b'chev v'yochud davar aser kegonzer alitelo rasha ramos. Let him go and let him go to hell, literally. This is a surprising Gemara?
Yes, it's a surprising Gemara.
Because it says, mm-hmm.
Correct. Wait a second. Isn't this the exact opposite? Aren't Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zelazer? Aren't we guarantors of one another? Right. What is this guy? Let the guy drop dead. See if I care.
That seems very.
Shouldn't we be reproaching about the Gneva?
Okay, again, we're not supporting what he's doing. Don't get me wrong. We're not saying, please, Ganve. Right? But to say, let the guy eat treif because he's a ganav? So the Chavish Yar was very bothered by this. He said, I don't understand this. Number 7, I'm very, very surprised by this. That mashmaos to be pashtis, the lo levad b'hai milsa gufa, the lo nakbid, l'azio me'isa imrav li'achinami, yesh odis yesh yavarom. Doesn't matter. I can leave the if I know he's stealing my meat, so leave him a ham sandwich.
Oh my God.
Right? Why not? What do I care?
Where am I going to get a ham sandwich from to plead for him?
Park Burger.
Got it.
Right? You want a video conference and tell him how good you think their ham sandwich is? He said, not only that, but you know, people kind of make up their own religion. There are a lot of people out there who will steal without a question, but they would never eat treif. Never. Now, come on. So he said, so in fact, if we would go and we'd say, by the way, this is, you can't eat this, it's Orla, it would even stop him from stealing, wouldn't it? Right? So besides, what? Well, again, that's all that I have. Right? So he's saying that, and just because the guy's willing to do one avera, who says he'll do two averas? Okay, I'm a ganav, everyone does one. But the ganva, then something that's strafe, everyone has the Lord. So that's the question of Chavis Yoyer. He says, I just told you to understand it. And his answer is, if anyone could fix this, I would greatly appreciate it. Just leaves it like that. I don't understand this Gemara.
It's weird.
So that's the question. That's what we are here to deal with. The question is going back, similar to the question we have here by the Meraglim. I don't understand. When do we? I always thought that we care about everybody. Kol Yisrael Arevim Ol Zelazer. We're brothers. We're guarantors for one another. Right? Hocheach tochiach. I should rebuke the people. I should bring them back. There should be chozer b'tshuva, etc. And all of a sudden, I hit this Gemara. It says, okay, literally.
Really?
Literally. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Goodbye. So what's going on here? So there are several approaches as to how to answer this question. The first one I give you is from the Chashukei Chemed. The Chashukei Chemed is a sefer written by Rav Zilberstein, who was the son-in-law of
Eliyashiv.
Very good. We'll see him later. So he says, his answer is as follows: V'chanira she'amaduber beganavim achrive olam. He said, this is only talking about incorrigible thieves. People that, in fact, there is no hope for them whatsoever. They're bandits.
Oh, right? Really bad guys.
Bad guys. Right?
Which tochecha is not going to help you.
Right, so he said, mitzvah, if there's no way we're going to be able to bring them back, so let's just get rid of them. There's really no hope.
Send them to hell.
That's it. That's the bottom line. He said, this is only talking about people that are bad to the bone. Right? These people that are incorrigible, they're career criminals, then we could do without them. He said, and that's the answer. He says, that's the answer to Chavis Yoyer. Yeah, a person, nobody's perfect. Everybody does a sin here or there. Okay, and those people we should work on and we should help them along. Or people, you know, are well-meaning, but they don't have a proper Jewish education, right? So these are the people that we're going to go and we're going to do what we can to put them on the straight and narrow. But if a person that, forget it, there's just no hope whatsoever. The guy's name is Moshe the Ganav. His mother named him that. Right? His name is Moshe the Ganav. Forget it. So that's the first answer. The answer is that most people in the world, yes, we tried. The Chazon Ish had a little bit of a different approach. He says as follows. He said, the only problem that there is I can't encourage someone to do something wrong. I can't be lifne iver lotite milchshol, right? I can't some way cause a person to stumble. This person is causing themselves to do it. So he says, the kol anoto b'isro mikra she'i makshiro. This person came and stole from me. This isn't my problem. I'm the victim here. Right?
Right.
Right. So if I see a person, you know, and they're not keeping Shabbos, I see a person, they're not eating kosher. So again, that's appropriate for me to go and to tell them about the beauty of Shabbos, etc. Then, but in this case, this guy's robbing from my field, and I'm supposed to be concerned about his well-being? Right. So that's approach number two.
Can always be sad for people that are doing
it. I could be sad, but you know what? I'd rather be sad with him robbing your house than my house. Go, Shlomo will feel your pain. Let me get know where Magnolia is? Yeah. Point them in the right direction.
Pre-2015.
There you have it. Third approach is the thirst of the Noda Yehuda in his Dugal Mirvava. He says, "Ein mitzuv rafisha kim k'sheover b'shogeg v'yesh v'yad achar rafisha chayv rafisha k'mo b'katan." If there's somebody who's doing something accidentally, or somebody who's a child who doesn't know better, then I'm obligated to step in. But again, if this is a person who's over b'mezid, if this person knows exactly what they're doing, right? Then that's their problem. That's approach number three. The Ein Yitzchak has a fourth approach, very interesting, and he says as follows. I'll do it outside, it'll be a little easier. What? So the Ein Yitzchak is one of the Svarim of Yitzchak Elchanan Spector.
He was not
a Rosh Hashiva in YU.
He was
a Rosh Hashiva in Kovna, right?
What's the Yitzchak Elchanan?
But we named the yeshiva after him. He was dead before we opened. Oh. That's why he didn't.
But that's an unnamed Ein Yitzchak. Where does that come from? I mean,
I can really answer. Mm-hmm. I
don't
know.
Just
but his name was the second half. I could help with his name was Yitzchak. So.
Why
did they name the?
So he says, what?
Named the yeshiva after?
He was the Gadol Ador. He was not there. He was not there.
Somebody gave a lot of money.
Right. I think.
Okay. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah. There was. For this you pay tuition. He says as follows. It's a very interesting idea that it says Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazem. If you look at Parshas Nitzavim, it says Hanisteros Hashem Elokeinu Vanidlos Manu Vaneinu Ad Olam. What does that mean? That means that at that time the Nistaros, things that I am not aware about. Again, if somebody's doing a Averis at home and I don't know about it, I can't be responsible. However, if the person is publicly doing something, then I'm responsible to stop it. So he says that the idea of arvus, the fact that I have to take care of other people, that only applies by the niglos. If I know that somebody is doing something, then I have to stop it. But here, I don't know the guy's breaking into my... I have to go and say, well, I have to do something in the event that a ganav decides to come? Right? This better be nistaros, or else I'm going to chase the guy out of there. He said, so that's the difference. The difference that this is Nistaros. But the last, and I think in many ways, the most compelling approach is brought down here by the Hartzvi, or Tzvi Pesach Frank. He says as follows. He says, quotes our case, it says, He said, let's be serious here. What happens if I put up the sign? If I put up the sign, so instead of stealing like this, he's going to steal that, right? Dear Ganav, you know, let me recommend the Chardonnay is particularly good this year. Right? So...
But then you're left basically.
But hold off that for a second. He said, "If I put up the sign, if I don't put the sign, he's going to be a sinner. If I do put up the sign, he'll still be a sinner
because he's stealing.
But he'll at least you will not have let him astray."
So again, the idea is that he says that I'm only obligated to stop a person if I can stop the person, right? If
I
am,
you're not supposed to be mochiach somebody when you know this. You're just wasting your time.
No, again, but I'm not wasting my time, right? So if someone says I'm going to drive to shul on Shabbos, so should I say better take an Uber? Right, Uber is derabbanon.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing there? You're not lighting the fire. You're just getting.
Yeah, again, it's not what they're. You're not allowed to take. For the record, you're not allowed to take an Uber on Shabbos.
I was going to say it's a very weird direction.
Right. Besides Maris Ayin, there's real malachas involved in it. But it's less, right? Right. If somebody would find themselves in a hospital on Friday night, now they've got to get home, right? It would be preferable to, if the person can't walk, take an Uber rather than drive. Right? That in fact, would work. But the bottom line is, do I have to convince the person who's one way or the other going to break Shabbos better this way than that way? So he's saying no. He's saying no. If I can tell a person about the beauty of Shabbos and then they'll keep Shabbos, okay, that makes sense. But I'm saying okay, instead of doing deraisa, do a derabbanan, right? He's saying that you don't have to. He said, and that's what's going on in the case here. At the end of the day, even if I put up the sign, he's still going to be a ganav.
He's still going to be a ganav, but he won't be eating.
Right.
Right.
But again, the idea being the bottom line is if he's an avarian, even at the end of the day, it doesn't bother me how much of an avarian it is. Oh. Right? So that is the fifth approach here. So we had five different approaches as to when we say it and when we don't say it. And this becomes very important, right? Someone had been speaking to me recently about the following question, which is very real in many communities. No, it wasn't you. Which is as follows. Do communities open up the mikveh, theoretical, for non-married women?
No.
In general, no. I mean, I don't know of anything, too. So
what?
Five.
It won't be on the final. What? Right, so again,
what?
We spoke about
nights,
Shogig versus Mazin, right? We spoke about whether you can stop them from sinning, period, whether you know about it, whether they are actively doing it, which is one I didn't say yet. What? If you're the victim, very good.
Whether you have a chance of succeeding or not.
Right. So again, so those are the approaches. So the question is, right, this is a straight up question to a community. Does a community allow a single woman into the mikveh?
You mean like before Yom Kippur or something? No,
like July 4th, I mean.
Oh, you're giving the benefit of the doubt too much.
Do you need to explain it to her?
Rethink again, Ellen.
Heidi Pearl, can you explain to her?
Oh, talk to your mother.
It's time to have that talk to her about the birds and the bees, I think. Just sit her down.
I don't know of any case where they have.
I do.
They do.
The Heights. There's a whole thing in the Heights about this.
Sure. Where?
In New York, in the Heights.
Aurora. What? There's a room.
To fill in dates.
Anyhow.
You got to get control of this group.
I don't know. I was expecting a certain level of maturity, obviously. I was mistaken.
Me too.
Maturity and Eidos?
Let's talk this out. Again, this is the question of whether or not. So, on the one hand, in the event that women go to the mikveh, both them and the young man, right, in question, will not be over an Isser Kares. On the other hand, it won't be mutter.
Right.
So, again, according to that approach, then in fact, what?
And it's certainly you're validating.
What?
What if the boy is a boy?
And he's a guy. Oh, it says.
Oh my God.
Nobody does that. The boy should not go to the mikvah.
What? I mean, unless Pinchas ben Elazar ben Akohen happens to be around, then that'll be bad news. Bad news for Tana. Right, so that is an example of a very practical question that comes up in many communities.
So is that considered public? In other words, if I go to the mikvah, is that now considered a public act?
Well, the mikveh lady knows about it.
Is that considered a public?
Yes.
Act?
Yes.
Okay.
Right? So, again, but if she doesn't go, again, if I close it, then it's not public. What's going to happen? Right? Because, again, the act that we're quite. There's no isser in going to the mikveh.
Right.
Right? Even for Yekis. But but at the end of the day, right?
Then, the mikveh, you are encouraging.
You're validating it.
Correct. Right.
No, that the is, mikveh is open. We're not opening it.
No, but allowing them to come. I,
but let's
I,
say
Yossi,
doing,
but, a to this
yeah, but let's say they're going
right,
to
again. No, so again, in terms of public policy, this is an important question because there are probably some women out there that whether they go to the mikveh or not will not make a difference. And there are women out there, if you don't let them go to the mikveh, so they might reconsider their actions.
But if they're not going to change their behavior, we'd rather have them not go to the mikveh and not.
So according to this, yes, Halitela Rosh or Yomus. If you want to sin, we're not going to help you.
Okay.
How do you know if a person's going to change their behavior?
I don't know. I don't know. But that's what doesn't matter. But just so too here, it could be if I put up a sign that the food is arla, the person might not steal. But Rosh Hashanah Gamliel says, I don't care. You want to steal? You want to, your problem. Right. So that is. I gave here a few examples where this comes up in printed tshuvas. Two tzitz Eliezers and a Negros Moshe. The tzitz Eliezer has a very interesting case. Al das im yishra rabbanut kan ve'aretz letet hechshira hamid mashkiach bebeit malon shebarov mekabelov shkora hachim ma'arachav neveros v'treifas. A restaurant applies for hashkach in Israel, and they're willing to serve only kosher food. However, and they will not serve milk and meat together. Avom nodiya mefurash sheyachur harotim bekach ma'achor echarav miyat acher basar. In the event that somebody comes in and has a steak dinner, and they'd say, I'd like a coffee now with milk in my coffee, they'll serve it.
They will?
They will.
Wow.
To be clear, they will.
I had no idea.
Now, that's the question. Right? The question is, do you give a hashgacha to this place?
Nope.
Well, they're not really cooking them together.
Nope. The food is all kosher.
Right.
The food is all kosher. However, they're saying that, you know, right. That's just like again. If a person walks into the deli and buys hamburgers and cheese, and they announce, okay, now I'm going to go home.
I'm
going to make cheeseburgers. Right? Is
Shua say I'm not selling it to you?
Does Shua have to say I'm not selling it to you?
Probably.
Yeah, he sold it to Wyoming. They wanted to make a kosher event. They ordered cheese and
meat,
and he said nothing because it's fine.
Right, so that's the question. So here, the question is:
how do you know they were going to serve them together?
I was there at the event,
and how did it taste?
Well,
I told you to put the cheese here.
So how was the cheeseburger?
So in other words, somebody could have come along and made a cheeseburger.
Right. Well, people did.
Yeah, sure. I mean, most of the people who came, it wouldn't have made any difference.
But then why do you want to buy kosher? I don't understand, right. Then. Why do you want to buy kosher food if you're going to do that?
For the few people who care.
Oh.
So there
for Santa was going to just have
answer. So that's the question. The question is, do you give a hashgacha this place? Because the food is kosher. Right? There's nothing that they're serving that's not kosher, and they're not going to serve a cheeseburger.
Let me ask you a question.
Right, they were not so brusel b'chalav, but if the individual wants to have a coffee with milk, that's not our problem. Yes.
But doesn't a tudat kashrut mean not only is the food here kosher, it's prepared in a way which maintains its kashrut?
Yes.
It's served in such a way that it maintains its kashrut.
Correct.
And why can't you just give them artificial creamer?
They don't want artificial creamer. They wanted artificial creamer, they'd order artificial creamer, but they don't want it. They want milk.
So wait a minute, what did the tzitz Eliezer say?
So again, he says, that's what he says. He'll serve them together. They say, and then the mashkiach can't come over and tell the people no. That's what the hotel owner says. Listen, I have a diverse clientele. I'm going to make sure that everything is kosher, that my kitchen is kosher, that my kelim are kosher. But whatever people do with it is not my business. Right? And if I start making them miserable, then I'm going to lose customers.
In other words, though, he will have to serve the coffee in a cup that's capable of accepting the milk. And it will not
He'll serve it in a milk cup. What's wrong with that? Yes, Marcia. It's probably worth the wait, though, I'm sure. Also, we should have in mind Craig Schottenstein's mother is in surgery now.
Is Craig in Cleveland?
No, he couldn't make it out. So, Sarah Bas Miriam. Sorry, boss. Maybe we shall have her mind. Yeah, I'm trying to. I've been trying so hard.
So you're telling me that this goes on all the time?
No, I didn't say that. When did I say that?
Oh, I'm asking the question.
This is the Shiloh. This is the question.
Right now.
I'm good with the Shiloh.
Good.
Okay. We haven't come to the answer.
But we're trying.
Okay.
So that's what he says. So some people said, listen, these people who are going to eat the milk and meat together, they're going to show up in this restaurant whether it's kosher or not. Whether they're serving kosher meat or they're serving, you know, non-kosher meat, they're coming. So wouldn't it be better if there is a mashkiach here which makes that these people at least eat kosher? That's the question.
Okay.
Right? It's like, for example, that people are carrying on Shabbos anyhow, so put up an Erev. Right? If you don't want to hold of it, that's one thing. But how about all the Jews that pass through here, this area, who aren't observant? Is it worth it to put up an Erev for them?
Well, I would say yes.
Right? So he says, so the Tzitz Eliezer says, Lefi ani yazdaiti, nira shebishum ponim ein la rabbanut latein hechshir lahabid mashkiach bebeit maron kazeh, hamatil tenai umum bekotchim miyoso mitzvah. We don't negotiate with these people. He says, no way. You're going to tell me you're only going to take my hashkacha in the event that I agree to look the other way when people have milk and meat together? Nechtig and tug. We're not going to do that.
And nechtig and tug.
That's no Ladino.
Rabbi, what about our old friend, Morris Zion?
What?
What about Morris Zion?
What about Morris? There's no Morris.
Like somebody's going to say, oh my gosh, this restaurant is serving milk and meat together. And
well, it's not. Again, this is one of the cases where again,
where the milk
there are people who are in this restaurant who are eating, right, milk and meat together, but they are not serving it together.
But it seems like the truth is we're not going to give them the...
Right, so again, Tzitz Eliezer says, no dice.
Mm-hmm.
Right, skipping to Dal Ches, right, which is the next thing. I kind of cut it out. But Ozo's...
was not the practice in Israel.
But
Tzitz Eliezer
said. Old Chazon Ramoed, my friend. Old Chazon
Ramoed.
Let's go. So let's go. Yeah, the Rada Rabbanut Rashid in Israel. They didn't put the chicken soup in the coffee cups.
But all this in
the dishwasher. That's fine. Okay, so the ode, I've always been. The bechagon nidoneinu kikaven the gamba avareinu alachet hakal. Ain't anach mezakos on oos ame isra acher. Habal malon v'rabbi mosu nechazim adayim devukim bechet haacher. Kigon da ain't alin v'chal chover likaris ba'ol chazem. So he's basically saying that if they're going to be sinning one way or the other, it's not my problem anymore. He said, if all you're going to do is you're going to save him from doing a second Avera when he's doing his first Avera, don't care. He's a Russia. He's a wicked person. He's not b'chal arvus at this point. I'm not obligated. So that's what he says. But Moshe Feinstein got the same question. Imritin hashkacha number 14 shelo yimkaru shem acholos asuros b'makom she'efshalim noa samir limcha ma'acholay chol v'mishirotz ro'ochem acher achiros baser. So I give Ashkacha on a pace where I'm not going to be able to stop the person from drinking the milk after he eats the meat. He said, if they say, well, allow me to do a Darabanan or I'm going to do a Daraisa, we don't give in to that type of negotiations. We don't negotiate with religious terrorists. Right. What we call a Schwarzbrief. Schwarzbrief.
Brief?
What? It's male, right?
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Mailman is a brief trigger? Mm. I think, yeah. All those semesters? Yes. Yeah, talk briefing? Avon, Bekan, Amy Roshim Davashim, Arabandam, and Hadley Kakashas. He said, but in this case, I say give a Kashkacha, Moshe says, against the Tzitz Eliezer. Why? It's not that every single person who's coming is going to have milk and fleishiks. What's going to happen is we have a kosher restaurant. And the overwhelming majority of people will come there, they'll eat kosher, and they'll be happy. Or they won't be happy. It's a kosher restaurant. But it could be that once a day, once a week, some schmeiger is going to come along, and he's going to go, he's going to have milk and his meat together. So okay, so that guy I don't care about, but every other person I don't care about. All the other people who I can stop them from eating treif, the majority of the people will go. They'll eat their steak dinner. And that's it. They'll go home afterwards. So Rav Moshe says, it's one thing if you tell me about an individual, I'll tell you. But all of a sudden, I should shut down the whole hashgacha over there's a guy in there. So therefore, Rav Moshe disagreed, and he thought, in this case, you do give a hashgacha. Yeah. Another Tzitz Eliezer. This is a practical question. I'm sure most of us have had this question. He says, "Shal Yosef Shela No Keves Ishar LaHaros B'Shabbos LeMahaga Nosei V'Shoras HaDerech Ba'Im Yehu Yagir Malkom Yehuda Olo." You're walking on Yerushalayim and Shabbos, and a car pulls up and says, "How do I get to the Tachana Merkazit?"
Out of surface mode.
Practice.
Yishar.
Right? Do I tell him or I say, forget it?
Especially if you know he's Jewish.
Is there just well, the odds are overwhelming that he's Jewish. Okay? If I tell him how to get there, he'll drive less. As opposed to if he drives in circles looking for the place,
he's driving a lot more.
He's going to have to start, he's going to have to stop every time you put it on the gas, every time you hit the brakes. Other people, so you say the guy's driving on Shabbos, he's not my problem at this point. What do you think the Tzitz Eliezer says? The Tzitz Eliezer is Lishitaso.
Probably not okay
with this. And he says, listen, nope. I'm sorry, sir, you shouldn't be driving on Shabbos. That's as far as you go. Now, will that lead to him to love Orthodox Jewry more? Probably not. That's something that should also be considered.
You don't throw rocks at him.
Right.
You can say, I don't know.
Right.
That's dishonest.
Or I can't tell you.
This is how you get from here to there. So he tells, again, he says, once the guy is doing the sin, then forget it. The Tzitz Eliezer again agrees with his previous statement and says, in that case, if the person's a sinner, I'm sorry. But you don't care about minimizing the sin. The bottom line is that the person wants to sin. That's not our concern. It's interesting that Rav Moshe isn't really disagreeing, right? In terms of the individual, Rav Moshe seems to be agreeing with the same point. He's just saying, in the case of the restaurant,
don't shut it down for everybody.
How about everybody else? That's his argument, but he's not arguing in the major idea.
So he wouldn't argue that way on this case, would he? Like, give the guy direction?
Right. So I am not familiar with Rav Moshe writing on this specific topic, but I don't think he would necessarily disagree. Yes. This is the only person I know who writes about this specific case.
Yitzchak, you know how you know it's a kosher restaurant? The waitress comes.
No, you shouldn't.
Is anything all right?
You should not don't give the what? Because you should not be helping a person. You should not be encouraging a person to die. Drive. Say you go this way and then make a right. We'll save that for another week.
Maria used to ask that.
So you say it's Shabbat and
just keep walking.
Right. Sorry, I can't give you directions. It's Shabbat.
This led to there's one step beyond, and this is a tshuva that was brought down by Rav Zilberstein, and I'll tell you my opinions about it afterwards. Rabbi Black wrote an extensive article about it in English, so therefore for Marsha I put the English edition in. You're welcome. Listen to this case. Is everyone sitting? Good. Some time ago, an incident occurred involving a socially inept American student who became the butt of his classmates' derisive behavior. See Rabbi Black saying this, yes? Matters reached a point at which one of the tormentors regularly invaded the oppressed student's knapsack, stole the sandwich the latter had prepared for lunch, and proceeded to eat it himself. Endeavors to enlist the aid of fellow classmates in order to identify the thief or to prevail upon him to put an end to this practice were of no avail. Finally, the victim, who excelled academically as a chemistry student, took matters into his own hands and proceeded one day to lace his sandwich with a poison.
Oh, God.
in the midst of an afternoon lecture, one of the members of the class became violently ill. In the course of the ensuing tumult, the victimized student revealed that he had done what he had done, explained that he had resorted to poisoning the sandwich in order to establish the identity of the thief. Therefore, thereupon, the rightful owner of the sandwich administered an already prepared antidote to counter the effect of what was otherwise would have been a lethal poison.
So he had ethics.
What?
He had ethics.
Unlike the Ganav who stole a sandwich.
Exactly. And wouldn't show it.
He fulfilled the Gemara.
Right. He was. Right. The students involved seem to have been non-Jews. Rabbi Bleich writes. It's interesting. However, many years later, a Jewish student who witnessed that episode and who in the interim had become a physician in Israel as well as a participant in a periodic seminar conducted on behalf of physicians by Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein of Bnei Brak, asked Rabbi Zilberstein if the aggrieved student's conduct was justified according to a Jewish law. I went to Rabbi Bleich and I told him, you've been taken, because this never happened. This absolutely positively was a made-up question for the seminar. It did not happen. The closest I found to what actually happened was in 2013 in Hungary. There was a case in Hungary where there was a vineyard where there was a guy who was stealing wine from it, and therefore the owner of the vineyard took a barrel of wine and poured antifreeze into it, knocking off five people in the village.
Mm. But they weren't cold.
What? That's right. The bodies are well preserved. And he was actually tried and convicted of murder, in case you're curious. They're both revenge.
But it was on his way to murder.
Right. So the question is as follows. The question is, if I don't care if a gun of each trafe, should I care because he brought it upon himself? Do I say in this case too? He brought it upon himself. He'll know better next time.
I don't think you can poison.
One is you're doing an action, and the other one you're not doing an action. Meaning
if this guy had reversed the effects of the antifreeze, wouldn't have been convicted of murder.
Right. Okay, but again, I don't think the
right, the case where you just don't give in to someone because he's...
So are we all in agreement that you're not allowed to do this?
Yes.
Surprisingly, as reported in the Israeli Torah journal, Pa'amei Yaakov, Rabbi Zilsi immediately responded, not only is it permissible, the matter even involves a mitzvah.
What's the mitzvah?
What?
What's the mitzvah?
Biyata hara mikirbecha.
Are you serious? What's the saving someone?
In a one-line statement published in Kislev 57:6, the issue of Parag Yaakov, Rav Chaim Kinevsky gives a qualified endorsement to that position. Rav Kinevsky writes, it appears that there is a basis for the words of my brother-in-law. However, not everybody agreed, not surprisingly. So there is a fair amount that was written about this. And the general assumption is that we don't kill thieves.
Right.
Maybe we chop off their hands.
The finger.
What? So again, that Rabbi Bleich has an exceedingly long article on this, which is available on our shelves here in the library if anyone would like to read it. It is in English. But even if we assume that Haliyateil Rosh of Yomus, that, you know, let him eat what he wants and he'll die, that's different than actually lacing it with poison. That is a little bit different. That, again, as opposed to the case where, let's just take a simple difference between the cases, the case where I don't put up the sign that this is Orla, I am being passive, right? In this case, where I'm lacing it with poison, I am being
active.
That is somewhat active. Yes, that right. would be a fair statement to say. That's right. One difference.
I'm not so sure you could qualify it as murder.
So in Hungary, you can, poison? It seems.
I think so.
There was a similar case in Denver.
Yes.
Not Jewish, but a carpenter.
Yes.
Had his carpentry shop where he kept his tools attacked over and over again and burgled because those are valuable and they're sold. Mm-hmm. And he rigged up a
spring
gun to be pulled to be triggered by
the opening many the cases door. Of spring guns.
Yeah.
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 Right. And in fact, he ended up going to jail according to Colorado state law.
I think every state
because it was
the
called
Union
a man trap.
Right. So yeah, in fact, that is, there are many, many cases like that. In fact,
and I was actually discussing with a fireman who said, "What happens if there's a fire? We go in there, we don't know.
Right.
We could be killed, and we are not there to steal."
Right.
Also, it's protecting property as opposed to human life. So,
the issue of administering
carpenter would take say.
Right. So again, the giving the antidote was a good thing to do.
Yes.
I think we could all agree on that. It's interesting. In most cases, by the way, cases of co-workers eating people's lunch is something that is common.
Apparently.
And and also lacing sandwiches is also somewhat common, but generally with Ex-Lax. That is usually what's done. By the way, if anyone has this problem, I don't think anyone looks down upon that. The person who has to leave the meeting for hours on end, right, they will learn their lesson that way. So again, if somebody finds themselves that, not that I would have ever done it as a student in high school, but I think that is a more common way of doing it and a more legal and more halachically proper way of doing it. So therefore, in sum, there's a lot of room to say that if we can't stop people from sinning, as is the case with the mikvah, or any of the cases we had here, then that's really not our problem. We don't have to worry about minimizing, because that is the idea of halitei rosh hayomos. However, that doesn't mean you're allowed to go kill people who are sinners.
What about minimizing? Like, when you're a silversmith, you said, don't give the guy directions, because you don't want to participate.
It was Rabbi Waldenberg.
So wouldn't they carry over the mikvah?
Correct. Correct. That would be the idea behind it. Different communities had different approaches, but I think that if you asked me if we had a mikvah in our community, that's what I would say.